Double, double, toil and trouble. Fire burn and cauldron bubble. By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes.
The something wicked is Chris Pratt.
Let's go!
Hello, hello, and welcome, welcome, welcome to Plumber Bummer. It's your premier podcast where every week, I'm Natalie McKnight. Every week I watch the 1993 Super Mario Brothers, and report back about it. Let me tell you, it's been kind of a second, and I really apologize for the absence. I've had quite a bit on my plate. I was in a production of Macbeth. I didn't play a witch, but, you know, that was my audition for the next production of Macbeth that I might be in. That was, that's my audition tape. It's that. I'll go in and I'll be like, monologue? No. And then I'll play the cold open of this podcast episode. And I think that'll do it for me. But I was in a production of Macbeth. And then I was sick for like 4 weeks in a row. And it was hell. It was hell. That being said, even though I have not been doing this podcast weekly, I have been watching this stupid fucking Mario movie every week, and it has not gotten any better for me. Still dread it a little bit every time I watch it. The surprise is gone now. I'm not shocked at the events of the movie anymore, which is perhaps an upgrade. I know it's coming. However, I'm still kind of waiting for that Stockholm Syndrome to hit, hoping that kicks in kind of soon, because I could use it, because right now it's just kind of a slog. Turns out, when you watch the same movie every week, no matter what movie it is, it gets kind of boring after a while, and it's worse if the movie is bad. So, I'm doing this so you don't have to, and we're going to pretend like that's true. Here's the thing. You know, I've been watching this movie every week. I've been reflecting on why I'm doing this. And I'm not going to say I don't regret it, because I've regretted it since the first moment I started recording. However, it's, you know, it's very introspective, I think, when I watch this movie and I'm like, wow, you know, maybe in a year, when this new movie comes out, I'll be like, I'm proud that I did that. In the moment, though, a little bit sucks. And then, you know, when I was sick and I didn't upload, I was kind of sitting there and I was like, wow, I think I'm cursed. I think I have been cursed. And you know, for a while I was like, oh, maybe it's just the fact that I've taken on this podcast project, but no, I don't think that's it anymore. Because in my absence, as many of you probably know, another animated Chris Pratt movie was announced, to the chagrin of everyone, everywhere. It was announced that Chris Pratt, alongside voicing everyone's favorite Italian plumber Mario, will be voicing cranky, Monday-hating, lasagna-loving cat Garfield. Ooh, which is a lot to take in. it really feels like this is a definitive mark in his career, right? Like, he's like, oh, you know me as Andy from Parks and Rec and as Peter Quill, Star-Lord from Marvel. And I want to move away from those roles. You know, I want people to know me as the guy who was Garfield, which you can't come back from in your career. Listen, if I know anything about how the internet works, Chris Pratt's going to take this role. He's going to be in this movie. It doesn't matter whether or not he does a good job, because forever people are going to look at him and say, that's the Garfield guy. That's the guy who did the Garfield thing, though. And listen, all right, I'm going to talk a lot about Chris Pratt this episode, as you may have been able to tell from the episode title. And I know that there's been a lot of controversy recently around Chris Pratt and his life. I'm not going to talk about it. Frankly, I don't want to. It's there for you to look into. You can form your own opinion about it. I'm just not going to be touching on it. I'm not here to pass any personal judgments on anyone. I've never met Chris Pratt. I have no personal or professional affiliation with him, really. I just want to talk about his career choices, because I will judge those, and I can because they're public and he's a public figure and an actor who could do pretty much any project he wants at this point. He's choosing to do Mario and Garfield. He could have turned down those roles. And this is what I do. I make jokes at rich people's expense. That's my whole brand. And I will say this episode will have perhaps a slightly saltier air than the previous ones, because I fully believe that Chris Pratt has cursed me. I think the Chris Pratt Garfield news struck me at my core, and it hexed me for weeks. I have reason to believe that releasing this episode might kill me. So if I'm dead in a week, sorry about not having a new podcast episode. I'll try to bequeath it onto someone else in my will. Sorry to my poor sister, who will now be legally obligated to continue these for me. Listen, all right. Real talk. I already do a podcast where I watch a bad movie every week. I'm not going to do another one. I'm not going to do that. I have to retain some semblance of, like, mental health, you know? Like, my well-being is fragile, and I'm not going to make it any worse by doing another podcast where I talk about the 2004 Garfield movie starring Bill Murray as Garfield. I'm not going to do it. But I will talk about it right now in this episode. As I mentioned, there was a previous Garfield movie. It came out in 2004. If, like me, you grew up around that time, you've probably seen it. I don't remember anything about it, frankly. I don't remember a damn thing. It was directed by Peter Hewitt, who, if you're a huge fan of nothing, you may know him, because he did the sequel to Bill and Ted. He did Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. And he did the sequel to the 2008 Mostly Ghostly movie. The second Mostly Ghostly movie is called R.L. Stine's Mostly Ghostly, Have You Met My Ghoul Friend? So there you go. Apparently Bella Thorne was in that. Good for her, I guess. Yeah, he directed those. I couldn't really find anything else super recognizable among his directorial credits. Aside from, of course, this Garfield movie. Masterpiece cinema. As I mentioned, it stars Bill Murray as Garfield, which was frankly an inspired casting choice. Are you kidding? The man sounds like Garfield. Like, you listen to Bill Murray speak and you're like, yeah, that's Garfield. It also stars Breckin Meyer and Jennifer Love Hewitt, because it was 2004. And side fucking note, as I was doing research for this episode, I stumbled across Breckin Meyer's Wikipedia page, and apparently Breckin Meyer, who many of you may know as Ty's love interest in Clueless, his name was Travis, he was like the stoner skateboarder, you know, God, I love Clueless. Anyway, Breckin Meyer apparently, reportedly, slept in a closed coffin when he was in high school. What? Why? What? Sometimes I read something about someone's life, and it doesn't really matter if they're a celebrity, right? Because it's like, oh yeah, rich people do crazy things all the time. I understand. But as like a high schooler? You sleep in a closed coffin? I can't tell if I'm like angry or jealous. Like, as a high schooler, I would have done that if that had been an option for me. Anyway, according to Bill Murray, he originally signed on to this Garfield film because when he read the screenwriter's name, he read it as Joel Cohen, C-O-E-N, of the Coen brothers, who are this super famous directorial team. They did The Big Lebowski. They did Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? They did Fargo. They did the 2010 True Grit. And my personal favorite, they did The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which came out kind of recently. It's on Netflix. Absolutely go check it out. It's a series of short Western vignettes. Oh, it's so good. It's just so good. The Coen brothers are bedonkulously talented, well-loved. I understand why, if he had read Joel Coen of the Coen brothers, Bill Murray would have been like, oh, yes, sign me up. However, this was not true. It was Joel Coen, C-O-H-E-N, who was a writer on Toy Story, Sister, Sister, Cheaper by the Dozen, Evan Almighty, Daddy Day Camp. They're very different people. They make very different movies. And you can imagine how Bill Murray must have felt after he signed on to the film and then realized it was not, in fact, Joel Coen of the Coen brothers, but rather Joel Coen of Toy Story fame. Like I said, I have not seen this 2004 Garfield movie since I was a kid, and also, I don't ever want to again. I'm cool with never ever seeing this again in my life. I don't remember anything from it, but I also kind of remember not liking it. So, there you go. That being said, I won't be doing this. But if someone else wants to start a podcast where they watch Garfield 2004 every week until the release of the upcoming Garfield movie starring Chris Pratt, let me know. We could start an empire, you and I. Just saying. On the subject of Pratt's Mario, the 2022 Mario co-producer, Chris Meledandri, recently had some things to say in defense of his casting, because as you probably know, it caused a huge stink. Everyone knows about Chris Pratt playing Mario, and everyone has an opinion on it. Most of the opinions are negative. I'm going to say it. Most people aren't really into it, or at the very least are very confused. But Chris Meledandri was recently approached by a reporter, and he had the following to say about Chris Pratt. I quote, "All I can tell you is the voice he's doing for us in Mario is phenomenal. Yeah, I can't wait for people to hear it." Those are strong words. You don't pull out phenomenal unless you're really confident. I do... Oh God, there's nothing I want to see more than Chris Pratt's audition for this movie. Because assuming that he wasn't approached, because who would do that? Who would approach Chris Pratt to play Mario? Who goes down the list of like, all right, who's gonna play Mario? Danny DeVito? No. Chris Pratt? Yeah. He can't have been approached for this. I refuse to believe it. Which means that he must have auditioned, right? And that makes me think that somewhere out there, there has to be a recording of his audition. He had to have sent in some kind of tape. Some casting director must have set up a video camera and said, all right, Chris, you're on. And I want it. I want to see this video. God, the room where it happens, you know, I would kill to be there. Anyway, Chris Meledandri also had some things to say in response to comments about Pratt not being Italian. I again quote, "Well, as an Italian-American myself, I understand. You know, I understand the comments. Charlie Day, who's playing Luigi, actually comes from Italian heritage. Yeah, so that's our nod." All right. Okay. I myself come from Italian heritage. Maron, you know. My family is from the south of Italy, right outside of Foggia. I won't say the town. The thing about small Italian villages is that if I say the name of the village, it's super easy to find my Italian family name. So I'm not going to do that. But I am myself of Italian descent. And I have a few words about what was just said here. First of all, you didn't address it. You did not talk about Pratt not being Italian. You were just like, I get it. Y'all seen Charlie Day, though? And listen, I'm never going to talk bad about Charlie Day. Are you kidding? I love him. If you have not seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you need to go check it out. It's, like, blusteringly funny. Like, it's, like, I'm there are tears down my face. Kind of funny. You've almost definitely seen a scene from it, even if you don't know what the show is. And most likely that scene has been the Pepe Sylvia scene, in which Charlie Day gives his whole spiel about fucking Pepe Sylvia. I got back to Swole Pepe. That's Charlie Day. I'm actually ecstatic about his casting as Luigi. I think it's going to be phenomenal. And he is Italian. Like, I'm not going to dispute that point. He is. However, listen, I'm not going to, you know, the interviewer who, or the reporter who did the interview and who accosted Chris Meledandri outside of LAX was very much like, oh, you know, people are so woke nowadays. And the woke crowd is like, oh, you know, you should be Italian. I'm not going to cause a stink. And also, I feel like that's kind of a straw man argument, but I digress. Mario is an Italian plumber created by a Japanese company. Is he stereotypical? Yeah. I mean, yeah, he is. And I'm not gonna, you know, sit here and be like, oh, you know, Mario has to be played by an Italian. I don't believe that. As an Italian American, I don't believe that. That being said, it's very strange to be like, oh, yeah, Mario's not Italian, but look, we got an Italian guy for Luigi. That's something, right? Give us the brownie points, please. That's our nod. That's our little nod to being Italian. We say, Italians, I see you. What what made you think that was cool to say? Listen, do I think Italian Americans are oppressed in America? No. No, of course I don't. There are so many bigger problems in the world than if Chris Pratt is actually Italian. I don't care. However, I also dislike that you tried to defend it by saying, oh, but Charlie Day is Italian, so we're fine. That Charlie Day can't protect you, Chris Meledandri. You think Charlie Day is going to protect you against me? Sweet boy, no. No, no, no. Meledandri also had some responses to whether or not Chris Pratt was going to do Mario's heavy Italian accent. If you don't know, Mario is currently voiced by Charles Martinet, who is confirmed to have a cameo role in this upcoming movie. You know, he's very known for his strong accent, his wahoo, it's me, I'm Mario. You get it. Oh, damn, I should play Mario. Hello? Anyway, Meledandri had this to say about it. I quote, once more, we cover it in the movie, so you'll see that we definitely nod to that. But that's not the tenor of the performance throughout the film. Which I understand, and I don't think anyone's really offended that Chris Pratt is not Italian and is playing Mario. I think it would be, like, slightly offensive if he did an Italian accent to do that. He shouldn't. He just shouldn't. Which means, you know, we're left with some options as to what's left on the table for what Chris Pratt could do that is quote-unquote phenomenal, according to Chris Meledandri. And listen, the best case scenario for this performance, it's long gone. It disappeared when they cast Pratt. We're moved past that. However, the second best case scenario is to take the same route as our beloved Super Mario Brothers 1993 and go full Italian New Yorker. I want to hear about a bing. I want to hear a forget about it. Give it to me. Because here's the thing. Coming back again to Charlie Day, right? Charlie has that energy. He has that kind of East Coast accent. He has that, like, you know, fucking what. You know how Italians sound? anyway. But he has that vibe. And I think if Chris can bring a little bit of that, a little bit of that Hoskins growl we love so much, I think it'd be not good, but at least fun. I'd enjoy it. Hey, Illumination, do it for me. All right, now we come back to this age-old question. And I gotta address this directly to Chris Pratt. Chris, hey man, we don't know each other. I'm Natalie McKnight. It's good to see you. Thanks for listening. Chris, I'll say this every week, if that's what it takes to manifest it. Please, please, come on to my show and explain yourself. The world is baffled at you. Children weep. Just a few years ago, you were the funny Parks and Rec and Marvel guy. What happened, man? You were the hero. America loved you. Come back to us, Chris. Take my hand. Walk me through what happened. It's all going to be okay. Also, you fucking cursed me. I'm kidding. Mostly. That's about all I got this week. I just wanted to pop my head back in and say, hey, hello, I'm still around. And also, I'm worried about Chris Pratt, and I'm worried about the effect that he has and the power that he holds over me. if you're new here, hi, thanks for listening in for the first time. We're really glad to have you. Every week, I give you a non-Mario movie recommendation so that you can know and judge my movie taste outside of Super Mario Brothers 1993. This week, Thanksgiving just passed. If you celebrate, I hope you had a wonderful time. As an American myself, I did. Do I care for Thanksgiving? Not really, but I do like the food. But every year, post-Thanksgiving really puts me into a holiday mood. And I thought I would recommend two movies, actually, this week that really encapsulate the holiday spirit. Lots of people like to watch them around the holiday season. And those movies are both named Little Women. One came out in 1994, the other came out in 2019. Besties, listen, I was floored when I found this out. The 1994 Little Women movie features Samantha Mathis as Amy. She plays Daisy in Super Mario Brothers. This is the crossover event of the century! Ah, I'm so excited. Oh, I was so stoked when I found that out. But the 1994 movie is just a lot of fun. Winona Ryder plays Joe, Christian Slater. No, that's Heather's. Wrong. Christian Bale plays Lori. Susan Sarandon is Marmee, which is kind of an odd casting choice, but I'm not, like, mad about it. That being said, personally, I think the 2019 Little Women is legitimately the most perfect adaptation of Little Women that I've ever seen. And I have seen many of them. Look, everyone else can go home. We did it. No one will ever do better than Greta Gerwig. I'm a huge Little Women fan. I read it when I was a kid. I read it again when I was a teenager. I was actually in a production of it as Hannah Mullet, the Irish maid. Top of the morning to you. I didn't ever say that, and I'm so sorry to all of my Irish listeners. Also, all the best adaptations have Hannah Mullet in them. If you don't know who she is, go read Little Women. Educate yourself, please. Thank you. I remember my big line was that I had to recite that chapter of Ecclesiastes where it's like, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to break down and a time to build up. And that was my whole monologue. And I won an award for my performance as Hannah Mullet in Little Women. And Hannah's in the 1994 and 2019 movies, which is why they're the best ones. Da-doy. But yeah, I love Little Women. I love the story. It's so charming. It's so homey. It's so nice. If you've never read it and you want a little two-hour version, go check out the 2019 or 1994 Little Women movies. They're fantastic. Everyone, that's going to do it for us this week. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for coming back. You know, it won't be that long again before I upload another episode. I don't anticipate another hiatus like that. It was just a rough couple of weeks for me, but we're back. I'm really excited to be back, honestly. I love doing the show. If you want more updates, you can follow the podcast Twitter at BummerPod, or you can shoot us an email if you want to yell at me for being a couple weeks late. That's plumberbummerpodcast@gmail.com. We actually had a listener write in after our last episode. This email is from Abigail. Abigail, thank you so much for writing in. This is so sweet. As you may recall, if you listened to our last episode, we talked about what makes a cult classic. And Abigail had this to say. Good evening, Ms. McKnight. Just writing to let you know that whilst listening to the most recent episode of your Plumber Pod, I was crying and throwing up, thinking you would not mention Clue the movie while discussing cult classics. But then, it was the week's recommendation. That was cool. Thank you. Patiently awaiting the next episode, Abigail. Thank you so, so much for writing in. That was so sweet. If you want me to read your email on the show, shoot me an email. If you want to shoot me an email and have it not read on the show, include it in the subject or the body of the text. That's fine. I don't have to read them. I just really love getting mail, and I'm so excited about it. Abigail, thanks for writing in. I'm glad you also enjoy Clue the movie. It's a banger. If you enjoy the show and you want a way to support us directly, you can go to our Ko-Fi, ko-fi.com/plumberbummer, that is ko-fi.com/plumberbummer, or you can click the support link at the bottom of our show notes to set up a monthly donation. You can also tell your friends about it. We don't pay for any advertising, which means that word of mouth is exclusively how we get around. So if you're enjoying the show and you're like, hey, I have a friend who hates Chris Pratt, they would love this. Send them our way. We're always welcome to have them. You can also rate and review us on iTunes if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Rating and reviewing us pleases the great algorithm, which helps boost our show and brings more listeners to us, which is always appreciated. Thank you again for listening. This has been a blast. As always, I'm Natalie McKnight. And as Chris Pratt, as Mario would say, wahoo! That was my Italian New Yorker accent. Wahoo! All right.
Let's go!